The world didn't end when the Gulf Stream changed pattern. The world did change. The scientists were right in 1977. By 2031, global warming was real. Ice and fire would describe the next 2,000 years. It started slowly with massive flooding. The ice came with a flip of the magnetic poles and a change of axle tilt to 22%. There was time to shield. How and where was the question? Plans were created, rejected, and built yet again. Shielding from the star beating through a depleted atmosphere could be done. Must be done. That fire would burn and devastate the lands not covered with ice. Ice stretching from the uttermost north to what was Kansas in old North America. Europe was not to be spared. Asia covered to edges of Mongolia and even into Pakistan. The composition of the sea was broken by the influx of fresh water, its food chain ruptured, dead and dying. Yet plans were made and executed. Not everyone made it into the freeholds. Underground cities built and sealed against the volcanoes, climate accesses, and marauding bands of once humans ravaging what was left above. Now it's time for the freeholders to come to the surface. Their instruments show a repaired atmosphere, something only time could have done. The oceans, lakes, rivers, and streams were healing and life returning as measured by scouts venturing into the wastelands. Exploring the remade world and a new beginning starts now. Ian Kyleson's story intertwined with the deadly dangers involved with humans returning to the surface. It's the year 4062.
How to tell this story? Well, let me just talk it through. This is a briefing on the events of November 6, 2031, extracted from Rachel Cohen's diary, edited and recorded by Kyle Robeson. For Ian and Cassie. Rachel Cohen sat at her office. She was working there at Lockheed Martin in Lawton, Oklahoma. There was a little pond in front of the building, and it was gurgling happily outside her window. She was lost in her thoughts about the latest disasters on the coasts around the world. The barrier failure in the Netherlands had drowned most of that at-risk country. The losses were horrendous. Drawn back to reality, the enormity of the freehold project weighed her down. It's interesting to note at this point that Rachel Cohen was our ancestor. We have DNA documentation proving that. She and her husband Ephraim were the first scribes. He served his time on the Board of Governors, which is what the elders are called today. It's interesting also to note that she in her own thoughts didn't really deal with a lot of the things that were going on. She glossed over them. We'll get into that more as the briefing goes on. It seems like the military and defense contractors have co-opted the other two sites in the United States, Phoenix and the San Antonio Freehold. The Cohens felt it necessary with Lockheed Martin to set up another freehold in the United States. They were committed to taking two battalions of engineers and a company of military police with them into Mount Scott. And that was what became Freehold 3. The addition of the soldiers' families brought the numbers to nearly 9,000. That is about a third of our population today. Her husband's name was Ephraim, and he was an engineer that had overseen the boring machines as they worked their way into the mountain. It had been a long haul because he hadn't liked the idea of hiding in a hole in the first place. What brought him around was the death of his family. They were in Greece on Santorini for a vacation. The Thera volcano erupted. Vacations aren't supposed to be something that is dangerous. They were archaeologists, and archaeologists are often at risk, but not on a vacation. So he gave in and agreed. It took 6 months to dig out the freehold, and another month to build housing and mechanicals into the Stinking Mountain. And she called it the Stinking Mountain. I think she was upset, maybe a little bit, about the time it had taken her and her husband away from everything else that was going on in their lives. They'd begin in about 10 days from that date I mentioned earlier, November 6th, 2031, to move the rest of the people in. Initially, there were to be 16 freeholds. Those had been programmed and planned by the governments of the world. Roughly 120,000 people would be sent into the freeholds, into exile, essentially, to safeguard humanity's future. Rachel's project made 17. The sticking point wasn't funding. Mount Scott was funded privately. The holdup had been the makeup of the planned community within the freehold. The legislature of the United States had not even included a name when they published and approved the legislation sent it to the President of the United States. They were stuck with Freehold Free. And three was there because it was the revision, the number of the revision of the legislation that was passed. They had also approved some installations within Freehold 3. Besides the communications center that we have that allows us to talk to the colonies on the moon and Mars and the Venus orbital that monitors the sun, there's a genetics lab that's sealed, along with a tertiary cache of seeds. And those are sealed until you or I, a scribe, deems it time to unseal them. The hydroponics installation was operational. The algae for fuels, plastics, and animal feed were flourishing. They had to create plasma glow bulbs to imitate the sun's rays. Robert Watkins was in charge. He was high from that success. Now here's where we come in. 35 families had been chosen because they had photographic memories. They were being trained as scribes and arbiters. Now that's an old structure taken from ancient Israel, removing them from the politics that went on in day-to-day life. Getting that approved, Rachel describes as the fight from hell. In accomplishing their elevation, they had to admit people types that were not in the original plan for the freehold. They took in an entire Reformed Jewish sect, a Wisconsin Synod Lutheran congregation, and two small Baptist congregations, a group of about 60 atheists as well. I've got to stop this for now. The chime tells me that there's somebody at the front door. And I will continue with this or another piece of the briefing in part two. 35 families had been chosen because they had photographic memories. They were being trained as scribes and arbiters. Now that's an old structure taken from ancient Israel, removing them from the politics that went on in day-to-day life. Getting that approved, Rachel describes as the fight from hell. In accomplishing their elevation, they had to admit people types that were not in the original plan for the freehold. They took in an entire Reformed Jewish sect, a Wisconsin Synod Lutheran congregation, and two small Baptist congregations, a group about 60 atheists as well. I've got to stop this for now. The chime tells me that there's somebody at the front door. And I will continue with this or another piece of the briefing in part 2.